The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case. And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so. We will supply sophisticated weapons to backward countries and betray an entire people like the Kurds, all because it is in our national interest.
This week in Radical History for the week of November 17th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer. Some audio is borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York. And other radical info can be found in the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
Yo, check this out, man. There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
Proving yet again and breaking the myth that America was founded on religious freedoms, for on November 17, 1637, first American feminist Anna Hutchinson would stand trial for not following the Puritan model. During her trial, when it became obvious that the court would rule against her, she said these words in court, quote, "You have no power over my body, neither can you do me any harm. I fear none but the great Jehovah, which hath foretold me of these things, and I do verily believe he'll deliver me from your hands." She'd be called a heretic and an instrument of the devil. Quoting from the judges, "You have stepped out of your place. You have rather been a husband than a wife, a preacher than a hearer, a magistrate than a subject." Though late in the term with her 15th child, she suffered greatly in jail and would suffer a miscarriage. More feminist news. In 1866, anarchist feminist Valtorini D. Claire is born in Leslie, Michigan. She'd teach in Philadelphia and would tour the world lecturing. She once said, "To me, any dependence, anything which destroys the complete selfhood of an individual, is in line of slavery." For her, equality and dignity for both sexes led her to her anarchist beliefs. Also on November 17, 1909, of course, Marines are invading once again, this time in Nicaragua, to protect American interests.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case.
Also on November 17, 1942, hobo organizer, anarchist, and cultural dropout Ben Reitman dies. Dr. Ben Reitman crusaded, was beaten, tarred and feathered, jailed, and run out of town for his efforts on the behalf of the rights of women to control their own bodies, and his lifelong efforts to educate and improve the health of hobos. Also on this date in 1978, two FBI agents testified before the House Select Committee on Assassinations that the Bureau's long-term investigation and surveillance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was based solely on J. Edgar Hoover's, quote, "hatred of the civil rights leader," unquote, and the civil rights leader's alleged communist influences and linkage with radical groups. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Citra Cactus. On this day, November 17th, in 1983, the Zapatista Army of National Liberation, the EZLN, was founded in Chiapas, Mexico, by members of various rebel movements. The group of six men and women opposed the oppression and exploitation of indigenous peoples throughout the globalized world. When the EZLN appeared about 10 years later, in 1994, they had taken hold of five municipalities in Chiapas and declared war against the Mexican state. They have battled constant armed suppression from the Mexican military. However, they have also established an autonomous education and healthcare system, complete with its own schools, hospitals, and pharmacies, which are governed by a collectively established set of revolutionary laws. The Zapatista movement is a great example of collective revolution, and it is important that this kind of work is being done. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you to never let the past slip away. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Citra Cactus. On this day, November 18th, in 1903, the Ibanao-Varilla Treaty was signed, giving the United States government exclusive rights to construct and manage the 10-mile-wide strip of the Panama Canal. The treaty was signed 2 weeks after Panama's independence from Colombia,
which was backed by the U.S. after the Colombian government refused to cooperate with the Roosevelt administration. The negotiation is also known as the Treaty No Panamanian Sign because it was created and signed by the U.S. Secretary of State and a French engineer, Philippe Bonneau Varilla. For 96 years, the U.S. retained rights over the canal, which was a constant source of conflict and violence between the people of Panama and the U.S. military. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you to never let the past slip away.
This week in Radical History for November 19th, 1493, Christopher Columbus, quote, discovers, unquote, Puerto Rico. And the Spaniards, once they are shown a gold nugget from the Puerto Rico River, decide that they will stay. They regularly would feed Indian infants to their dogs alive, and at times while the horror-stricken parents would watch. The Spaniards would also host contests to see who could cut through a living person in half with one stroke of their sword. They would test the sharpness of their blades by beheading the nearest handy native. A little reminder of next time you want to celebrate Christopher Columbus. Also on November 19, 1915, IWW labor organizer, folk poet Joe Hill, murdered by firing squad in Utah. The subject of numerous songs, plays, and books. His last words to the labor organized supporters and friends of his was, "Don't mourn, organize." Here's a part of just one song of Joe Hill.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Lastly, for November 19, 2001, the Bush regime accuses Iraq and North Korea of developing germ warfare programs. Around the same time, Bush famously says in a speech that the United States never used weapons of mass destruction. I think the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki would not agree with him. On this day in Radical History for November 20, 1816, the term scab is used for the first time at Albany Typographic Society by author Jack London. To quote Jack London about scabs, "After God had finished the rattlesnake, the toad, the vampire, he had some awful substance left with which he made the scab. A scab is a two-legged animal with a corkscrew soul, a water-legged brain, a combination backbone of jelly and glue. When a scab comes down the street, men turn their backs, angels weep in heaven, and the devil shuts the gates of hell to keep him out. Judas was a gentleman compared to a scab. For betraying his master, he had the character enough to hang himself. A scab has not." Jack London. Also on this date in 1856, U.S. Marines fight in the Battle of Canton Forts in China. Apparently, there's no place on Earth that the U.S. has not interest in to protect.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case.
Also on this date in 1892, in more labor news, hired thugs, gunmen, and state militia break the Homestead Conergie strike that began on the 1st. On this date in 1969, Indians from 20 tribes seize and occupy Alcatraz Island in San Francisco Bay. American Indian Movement activists occupy the island for 19 months. They offer to pay $24 in glass and beads and red cloth for the land, the price paid by the whites for Manhattan Island. In a little bit of Wisconsin news, on November 20th, 1993, as Wisconsin deer hunters take to the woods and fields on opening day of gun hunting season, Alliance for Animal members protest at Devil's Lake State Park. They try to point out that this yearly ritual actually thins the deer herds of the healthiest and leaves the scrawniest and most sick behind. A kind of anti-evolutionary practice that actually weakens the herds, not strengthens them. For most hunters want the big bucks and will pass on anything that looks sickly. Now in Wisconsin, like many other places in the United States, chronic wasting disease is running rampant through the unhealthy herds and passing this brain disease onto hunters who kill and eat them. We should all understand fully now, with war and hunting practices, that though we have evolved enough to be able to make guns, we have not evolved enough to be wise about how to use guns. On a related subject, and showing how smart we really are, on November 20th in 2002, the National Geographic Survey found that 11% of all U.S. residents cannot find the United States on a world map, yet they can still have guns. On this day in radical history, for November 21st, only have one item, 1897, Molly Stemmer is born. Anarchist and labor agitator, her militant activities got her deported from the United States in 1921 for distributing literature against the U.S. invasion of Russia. Then when they forced the Russia, she'd be deported from Russia 2 years later for distributing anarchist literature. Both lands showing true freedom. On this day in radical history, for November 22nd, New York female garment workers call for general strike, leading to the, quote, uprising of 20,000, unquote. The International Ladies Garment Workers Union strikes against sweatshop conditions, also called the Girls' Revolt, wins support from other workers and the women's suffragette movement in their persistence and unity in the face of police brutality and rigged courtrooms, as many of the picketers are beaten and fired. In the end, the garment workers would win a pay raise and work reduction to 52 hours a week. A great quote comes from a British journalist, atheist, and anarchist, Nicholas Walter, who was born in this state in 1934. He once wrote, "Many people say that government is necessary because some men cannot be trusted to look out for themselves. But anarchists say that government is harmful because no man can be trusted to look after anyone else. Amen, brother." Also on this date in 1936, over 500,000 attend the funeral of anarchist Durruti in Barcelona, who lost his life fighting against the fascists in Spain. Also on November 22, 1967, UN adopts Resolution 242 calling for Israel withdraw from the occupied territories. They still have not left Palestine, 41 years later. Though Iraq was in violation of 17 UN resolutions, Israel is in violation of 2.5 times as many, yet we don't invade Israel. Last Anna State in 1985, 143 surviving Kickapoo Indians on the Texas-Mexican border are given U.S. citizenship, ending a 140-year U.S. refusal to allow Kickapoo to live legally on their own lands. On this day in radical history, for November 23rd, we only have two items, 1903, Army troops dispatched to Cripple Creek, Colorado to put down rebellion by coal-striking miners. Paid by miner owners and estate, General Sherman Bell and his men arrive and throw 600 Union workers into a military bullpen, holding them for weeks without charges. When a lawyer appears with a writ of habeas corpus, the general says, quote, "Habeas corpus, hell, we'll give them postmortems," unquote. Lastly, in 1981, acting President Ronald Reagan authorized the CIA to form paramilitary squads of Nicaraguan exiles to overthrow the government. This is the same clown who, on September 28, 1990, with a completely straight face, claims, quote, "We have never interfered in the eternal government of any country," unquote. And of course, from 1855 to 1981, there has been at least 40 military interventions in Mexico, South America, and the Caribbean alone.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. As long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more info. Special thanks to the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York, whose great audio I borrowed for the show. And more radical info can be found at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more radical information. Comments or suggestions, please consider emailing me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Cannon spelled C-A-N-N-O-N. That's themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Reminder what anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman said. If voting never really changed anything, they would have made it illegal. This has been This Week in Radical History, and until next week, as always, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Oh, I voted."